Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you can turn now, and I really believe that there is a quickening that's taking place in our ministry right now. There is a quickening, and we use that word, and what that's really saying is that God is speeding up his process. God is speeding up his plans and purposes and promises for our life. And the title of today's message is The Power of Your Amen. The Power of Your Amen. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read three verses. In verse 18 to 20, the Apostle Paul says this, and you should see it behind me in a second. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I just want to read that verse 20 again. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Father God, we thank you this morning. Speak to us through your word. Let our hearts, our minds, our ears be open to you, that we could become more like you, walk more like you, speak more like you, and be everything that you've called us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, I don't know about you, but many of us, sometimes we've been on the receiving end of false accusations. How many people can say at some point in your life, someone has had an opinion of you, someone has said something about you that wasn't accurate? Give me a wave if someone's done that. Sometimes people misunderstand us. Sometimes people get us the wrong way, or many times, sometimes people just don't want the best for you. Come on now, how many know? Sometimes not everyone wants to see you succeed. Not everyone wants to see you be successful. And the Apostle Paul found himself in a time in when he wrote this letter that the people of Corinth were actually speaking things about him. They were making accusations about him. You see, the Apostle Paul was a busy man. He had many churches to visit. He had many people to help. And he'd laid out his travel plans that he was going to visit the people of Corinth on two separate occasions. But even the best laid plans of man are sometimes subject to God changing it and getting involved. And so what began to take place is the Apostle Paul began to realize that it wasn't best for him to visit Corinth on the second occasion. But then the people of Corinth began to take offense to this. And they began to question Paul, and they began to say that if we can't trust your message, then we can't trust you as a person. Then what they were saying was, in actuality, they were saying that because your word has not come to pass, then we don't trust you as a person. And there's nothing worse than having your integrity challenged. There's nothing worse than having your character exposed or your character challenged. But the thing that the Apostle Paul did, and what we see from him in the scripture, is because how many know when your character is challenged, when you're spoken of, when you're spoken against, the first thing that you want to do is speak back. The first thing you want to do is defend yourself or justify yourself. But have you ever made a stain in the carpet or the couch or on the wall? And the quicker you try and rub it out yourself, the wider the stain gets, the bigger the stain gets. And sometimes it's like that when we try and fight our corner. But the Apostle Paul understood that the best way to defend yourself is to speak of who Christ is, to speak of his integrity, to speak of his power. And the Apostle Paul said to these people that we don't make decisions, even though I don't like using this word, willy-nilly. We don't make decisions just anyhow, but we make decisions based on what pleases God, based on what brings him glory, based on what brings him praise. And the Apostle Paul didn't fight his own corner. He didn't try and justify himself. He didn't try and shout louder than all the other voices. But he pointed and spoke about the God that he served, the God that he represented. And many times we can learn from that, that sometimes people will have opinions of us. Sometimes people will have interpretations of us, but the best way to fight your corner, the best way to stand is not to try and shout louder than all everyone else. It's not to try and tell people all the great things you've always done, but it's to walk with a clear conscience and integrity before God. Because when you walk in righteousness and integrity before God, God will fight your corner. God will be your vindicator. God will be your justifier. But when it becomes a matter of shouting voices, whose opinions are loudest? Who can show the most good works? But all God wants us to do is know that our righteousness is in him. And we have to point towards him, and that's what the Apostle Paul did. When you think about the circle that you associate with, your family or your friends, I'm sure we all have at least one person in our family, one person in our friends, that no matter what time you arrange to meet them, no matter what time you arrange to see them, no matter how much notice you give, no matter how close it is to their house, you know that they're going to be late. You know they're going to turn up an hour late or 2 hours late, because some people are just like that. You can have friends or friendships or family members that everything can be going smooth, and then they'll say something that's just really awkward or that just kind of puts their foot in it a little bit. But the Apostle Paul's point was that although people are fickle, although people can be up and down, although people sometimes say yes and then say no, when you serve God, God's yes is yes. God's no is no. He doesn't change his opinion based on your actions. He doesn't change his opinion based on his emotions. But when God has spoken a promise over your life, he is faithful to fulfill it. How many people are believing for something this morning? How many of you are waiting on God to perform his word this morning? God's yes is yes. He is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it before, like that famous song says, he will do it again. God is faithful to his word. But there is one truth in this, is that your message is only as valid as the messenger. The message that you speak is only as powerful and trustworthy as the person who bears the message. Luke said this about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. He says this, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. I love that, because sometimes you meet people that say, well, it's just me and my Jesus. Don't worry, I don't care what you think. It's just me and God all the way. But even Luke says that actually Jesus' relationship, as it grew with God, it grew with people. That his testimony was established day after day, week after week. And the scriptures teach us, and we in this ministry believe, that there is something to be said for people that have been faithful. There is something to be said for people that have been committed, for people that have stood. That we can get saved yesterday, we can get saved a week ago, and it doesn't mean God can't use us, but we can be thankful and we can testify that we don't just have signposts in our life, but we have footprints, people that have gone before us, people that have stood when we wanted to fall down, people that have prayed for us. People, you know you're here today because someone has been praying for you. Someone prayed for you at one point. Someone paid for one of these chairs because they believed that God was going to fill that chair with your life. You see, faithfulness is something that God honors. What's he going to say to us when we get to heaven? Come in, you great preacher. No. Come in, you great worship leader. Come in, you who speak Greek, Hebrew, Latin, Aramaic, and every other language the Bible's been written in. No, come in, good and faithful servant. It's faithfulness that God honors. It's faithfulness that God rewards. Thank God for good preaching. Can say amen. Thank God for good worship. Thank God for these people, but thank God for people that have stood the test of time. Our own pastor stood when his family was going through the warfare. His wife was stricken with cancer. His family, he had to literally take care of his kids himself, and yet every Sunday he stood behind this pulpit no matter what was going on in his life, and he took his post and he fulfilled it. Thank God for people that have shown the character. But when they wanted to quit, somehow, by the grace of God, they still came and they gave when there was nothing in their account. They prayed when they still hadn't seen their own promises fulfilled. It's faithfulness that God honors. See, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but the answer lies with the Lord. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the answer lies with the Lord. You see, this scripture doesn't tell us that it's wrong to make plans. This scripture doesn't tell us that it's wrong to dream dreams. In fact, we should dream. If there's any people that should dream of greatness, if there's any people that should pray for success, it's the people that serve God, because he desires to bless us and he desires to honor us. And there's nothing wrong with making plans. But just make sure your plans leave enough room for God to have the final say. Make sure that no matter how great your plans look, sound, and feel, no matter how great that business plan is, no matter how great that person looks when she's worshiping, no matter how great that guy looks when he's praying, no matter how it looks, make sure that God has the final say in your life. Make sure he has the final say over that relationship, in that job, in the course you choose at university, in the people that you speak to. Make sure God has the final say. But how many know, if you're anything like me, you like to be in control. You like to have the final say. How many people, when you argue, you just have to throw in that final say? That final word, you just slip it in. Even the way you say sorry sometimes, sorry. And it's like, I'm going to have the final say even when I say sorry. But yet, God has to have the final say, because he's painting a picture of your life that you can't paint yourself. He's orchestrating a journey for you that even on your greatest day, you can't write for yourself. He has a plan that is beyond what you can imagine. He is the author of your faith, but he is the perfecter, which means that he is the reason why you started this journey. But my friend, he is going to be the reason why you're standing at the end, still worshiping and still praising. He is the author and perfecter. One of the things I've learned about God over my journey is that when you least expect it, God is up to something. When you least expect it, when you think you're insignificant, when you think that no one sees, when you think that you're just doing day by day stuff, God is up to something in your life. He is preparing you for something. He is preparing you for greatness. But sometimes our life can seem mundane sometimes. Sometimes our life can seem like we're not making a difference. But promotion, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. That it is his hand upon our life which begins to raise us up. And you can be silent one day and you can be at the center of it the next day. Or you can be at the center of it one day and be silent the next. But God has the final say. And I've realized in my journey, I was sharing a story this morning, that God is up to something when we least expect it. I was speaking this morning about a time my wife and myself have been married about 2 years. And we moved to a place called Oldgate in East London. It's a nice part of East London. It's a nice area. And we moved into this flat and we were there for a couple of weeks. And then about 2-3 o'clock one morning, we just heard this voice. I heard this voice literally saying, and I'm not exaggerating, literally saying, I can see you. And I was like, well, that's random because I'm sitting in my living room. But I heard it was a proper voice. I'm not getting all super cuckoo. It wasn't God or anything like that. And then before I know it, they began to shout. And then it began to threaten us. And then it began to try and kick off our front door. Started booting the door to the point that we thought it was going to cave in. And he kept saying, literally, we're going to come in and I'm going to kill you both. And he was booting the door and booting it. And it's gone really quiet. And booting it and booting it. And I stood on the other side of the door. Miranda had called the police and I stood on the other side of the door. And I was saying this morning, I had the Bible in my hand. But I was exaggerating a bit. It wasn't really the Bible. It was something else I found laying around the house. And I stood on the other side of the door. And I literally waited for this door to come off its hinges. Because I was like, well, if he's going to get in, he's not going to get any further than the doorstep. So I just stood there and waited. And literally the door was coming off. And then the police came and took him. And I began to think, well, hang on a sec. This is crazy. Because I was just about to start night shifts in my job. And we found out that the house that we'd moved into was actually used to be a drug den. And people used to gather there to do their drugs and do all kinds of craziness. And so I thought, well, I'm just about to start night shifts. We're living in what used to be a drug den. I'm not leaving my wife here. And so we literally packed our bags an hour later, went and spent the night at a hotel, and then spent the next week and a half to 2 weeks sleeping on my mother-in-law's floor, which was a real pride killer at 27 years old. But yet, this is the journey that we were on. And I began to think, God, what are you doing? And I only realized a few years later that actually when we found our house after that, we found a house about a week later, and it was in an area that we said we'd never live in because we had friends there and it wasn't an area that we wanted to live in. And we moved there. And it was actually just a few months later that because we moved into that area that we met our children, George and Brooklyn. We wouldn't have met them if we'd stayed in Oldgate. We wouldn't have met them if we'd moved anywhere else. But God was painting a picture and painting a story of our life that if we had the opportunity to write it ourselves, it never would have gone that way. But God had a bigger picture in mind. God had a bigger journey in mind. How many people can say amen? God had a bigger picture. And sometimes you go through situations in your life. It can be a valley. It can be a mountain. It can be success. It can be setbacks. But yet when God is writing your story, there will be seasons and moments that don't make sense. But when you stand the course of time, when you keep doing the right thing, when you keep praising and you keep worshiping, when you keep going through it, David said this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He didn't say he sat in the valley. He didn't say he rested in the valley. He walked through the valley. So no matter how dark it got, no matter how difficult it got, David kept marching. David kept praising. And I'm here to let you know this morning that whether you're in a season where it's mundane or a season where all hell is breaking loose, the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered, which means if you keep doing the right thing, if you keep making the right choices, God is going to have the final say in your situation. He's going to have the final say in your healing. He's going to have a final say in your family. God will have a final say if you just keep praising, keep worshiping, keep standing. You see, it's the smallest of tasks that can bring about the greatest of destinies. Sometimes the things which we see as small, I honestly think God sees as big. I honestly believe that the things that we see as small on earth are magnified in heaven. Because even David, I want to share this, David was given the most mundane of tasks, and yet it led him to his destiny. You see, Jesse, the father of David, had three sons fighting on the battlefield. And they were running from Goliath, scared of him, afraid of him, running away from him. And Jesse said to David, "Here, listen, take this food for your brothers. Go down to the battlefield, give it to them, and then bring me back a report of what's happening." David literally was given a packed lunch and told to go and give it to his brother. How mundane is that? You want to be a great man of God, a great woman of God, here you go, here's a packed lunch, go and give it to your brothers. But little did David know that in saying yes, he was walking straight into his destiny. He was walking straight into his purpose, because when he got down to that battlefield, he's the one that stood before Goliath. You see, people didn't see it for him. His brothers didn't see it for him. His father didn't see it for him. But God saw it for him. And so in David saying yes, God honored that yes. God honored that faithfulness and took him straight into his destiny. Sometimes it can seem like we don't make a difference. Sometimes it can seem like our choices are not making the difference that we want. But God is the one that honors those choices. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be a crown waiting for each and every one of us. He's going to have a reward waiting for us. How many people are ready for your reward? It's not just salvation. He's got something waiting for you to bless you with. But I honestly think that sometimes people think that when they get to heaven, it's going to be the people that have written the most books, the people that have got the biggest churches, the people that have got the most followers on Facebook, or the most internet hits, or all of these things that are going to get the biggest crowns in heaven. My friend, the crown is reserved for those that have stood the test of time. People of longevity, people that even when people didn't know it, you've walked into this church with a smile on your face and said, "Praise the Lord," even though you didn't want to say it, but you've stood and you've worshipped and you've praised and you've given. You see, God has a reward waiting for people like that. He even says that he never forgets or misses any act of love that we do for our brother unto God. Some of you, you phone people, we pray for people. You give and all of these things, and people might not see it. You might not get a tap on the shoulder. You might not get a big hug all the time. But my friend, God's got a big hug waiting for you in heaven. He's got a big crown waiting for you in heaven. And the reward that's coming for you, and the reward that's waiting for you, is not based on what people see, but based on what God sees. Those late nights that some of you have been praying for people. Those early mornings that some, oh, I feel like this is important. Those early mornings where some of you have been praying for people. The late nights where God's woken you, have been praying for people. Man has not seen it, but God has seen it, and he has a reward waiting for those of you that have given when no one has seen, that has prayed when no one has seen, that has encouraged when you needed encouraging yourself. But the Bible says he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And sometimes you've got to dig deep and find the encouragement and say, you know what, I'm going to give you that even though I need it myself. God rewards people like that. I'm not saying it's bad to have a big church or have a lot of followers on Facebook. What I'm saying is faithfulness is seen many different ways. I was at a dinner, I shared this on Thursday night, for a charity called Hope for Justice. And this charity, Hope for Justice, they tackle modern-day slavery and modern-day trafficking. That's my badge. I took it. I said, I'm putting this on Sunday when I got it on Thursday night. And they tackle modern-day slavery. There's 21 million slaves in today's world, 12,000 in our country alone. And sometimes we can not see it, but it's a reality. And I went to this dinner and I was saying, have you ever been into an environment where you just felt out of place? You ever been into an environment where you just feel like, you know what, this is a little bit maybe more posh than I am. Maybe I'm not used to this type of environment. And we went into the Principal Hotel, which used to be the Palace Hotel, with which RH Manchester used to go. And I went in there and it was very much like everyone was greeting you and it was like, good day, sir, would you like a drink? And I was like, okay, thanks. You know, you just kind of talk this. I thought I said, can I have an iron brew? But I thought, that's not going to work. They had like Prosecco and all these champagne glasses, and I took the non-alcoholic one, which was a lemon and ginger. But you know when you're awkward or feel uncomfortable, you just do silly things? So I took the glass and I began to drink from the straw that was in the champagne flute. Should have realized they don't put straws in these things. It was a decorative stick. And I was there for about 20 seconds just sucking on this stick like, this straw's not working. And I looked at Miranda, and Miranda just looked at me and she gave me that look like, I have no idea why I married you. I can't even think about it right now. But you know when you just feel awkward, you just say something that's just not right. But at this dinner, they had the CEO of this Hope for Justice, and he was sharing his story, how he graduated from Royal Northern College of Music, and he was qualified to be an opera singer, and he performed at different things, and he said he thought that was his destiny. He thought that was his journey. And then all of a sudden, he said he stumbled on an event that showed a video about modern-day slavery and trafficking. And he said he stood there as this person that thought he was going to be an opera singer. And in that moment, he said his destiny changed because he realized that his mission, his purpose in life was to stand against that. And then just a few weeks later, he did his first event in NEC Arena Birmingham with 5,500 people came to it. And now they're in 5 countries. And my point is this, is that sometimes you can think your course is set. Sometimes you can think that you're just meant to tick the boxes, check in and check out. But God is doing something behind the scenes. God is preparing you for something. And I believe right now in Victory Outreach Manchester, although we're doing our thing and we're being faithful and we're ticking the boxes, there is a preparation that is taking place in your life. He has prepared you for this day. He has prepared you for this moment. He has prepared you for this season. And as long as you are faithful in it, as long as you meet that need, you take your post, then God is going to reveal all that he has been planning beforehand for you. He is up to something different. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is up to something in my life. God is up to something. But we come to this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we've heard this scripture probably said many times. And if you've ever been believing for something or waiting on something, like me, if you're like me and you've heard people say to you, God's promises are yes and amen. God's promises are yes and amen. I'm believing for something. Brother, God's promises are yes and amen. But you see, the problem with that is that that makes it sound like God's the only one that's got to do the work. But actually, the scripture doesn't say that God says amen. The scripture says that we need to say amen. Let's read it one more time. It says this, just verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, because how many know, God doesn't forget a promise. And I even think there's some of us in here today that you feel like God's forgotten you. You feel like all that God's doing, that he's missed you out. God doesn't forget a promise that he makes. He doesn't forget a promise that comes from his mouth. It says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It's us that says amen. You see, Jesus was God's yes. The cross was God's yes. The scriptures were God's yes. The word is God's yes. The church is God's yes. But we have to say amen. Now that might seem very simple, like, well, okay, amen. But what that word amen literally means, it comes from a Hebrew word aman, which literally means faith and belief. That word amen, you are literally saying, when you say amen, you're saying, Lord, let it be in my life. So when you hear the word spoken, when you hear promises made, when you hear things said, you say amen, you're saying, Lord, in everything I've heard, let it come to pass in me. You see, my question to us this morning is, who has our very amen? Who has your amen? Who are you in agreement with this morning? When God's promises are spoken, are you in agreement with what God said about your life? Are you in agreement with what God has promised you? Are you in agreement that you are more than a conqueror? Are you in agreement that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or hope? You see, in the synagogues in history, throughout history, and even today, when the scriptures are read, you will hear people literally across the synagogues say, amen, amen, amen. Because what they believe is that when God begins to rain blessings down from heaven, your amen gathers these blessings and makes them a reality in your life. You see, the word of God says that the power of life and death is in what, the enemy's hands? No. The power of life and death is in your tongue. So when you say amen and you confess this, you're confessing life. You're speaking life. Now listen, it doesn't mean that everything lines up. It doesn't mean that everything looks good. But when you say it, when you speak it, then you're confessing and positioning yourself that God's promises will come to pass in your life. In Genesis 15, verse 6, it says this, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it, I can never say that word, he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. You know what that scripture literally says? When it says Abraham believed the Lord, that believed word is aman. So it's literally saying Abraham said amen to God. I love that. Literally all Abraham had to do was say amen to God. Say amen to his promises. Say amen to God's ability to perform his word. Say amen that God is faithful in his character. Say amen that God is going to come through when you least expect it. Say amen when your conditions are telling you to quit. Say amen when everything around you tells you you're crazy to praise. Abraham said amen to God. Who has our amen this morning? When we're going through situations and circumstances, when we're faced with challenges that seem bigger than you, and bigger than I, do we say amen to God because of the size of the God that we serve, because of the ability of the God that we serve? But today, if I can be true and honest, the enemy is after your agreement too. This is a reality. The enemy is after your agreement. Isaiah 54 verse 17 that says what? No weapon formed against me will prosper. We love that scripture too, right, in church. You've got like a top 10 scriptures in church. But you just throw them out. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Greater is he who's living in me. And you run through them. But yet, we got to read the whole thing. Because the Bible says that we will condemn whatever rises against us. You see, the power is not in the enemy's hands. The power and the authority is in who you agree with. We're going to go somewhere with this because I think we need to understand this. Is that the power and authority is not what people have said to you. The power and authority is not in what people have spoken over you. The power and authority is in who you come into agreement with. And when you come into agreement with God's word, God's promises, God's power, then all of a sudden, you align yourself with God and you see a release of God's power in your life. It's who you agree with. That when you're going through situations, when you make a mistake, do you agree with what people have said about you? Or do you agree with what God has spoken over you? You see, you can't agree with your future and agree with your past at the same time. If you're going to agree with the future that God has promised you, you need to break the ties with the past that has brought you to this place today. And many of the time, we want to agree with both. Yes, Lord, I believe you can, but look at what this person did to me. Yes, Lord, I know you're able to, but look at where I've come to today. But to agree with God, you need to break an agreement with your past. You need to break an agreement with your opinions. You need to break an agreement with the things that have happened to you, the things you may have done. When agreement is made with God, you align yourself and God's power is released in your life. We have to speak it. Even when the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. You know what he's talking about is unforgiveness. He's talking about agreement with the enemy. Unforgiveness, when we hold on to it, is us agreeing with the enemy. But when you forgive, you come into agreement with God. And you release everything that God has for you. You see, the devil has no authority. Is it all right if we expose him this morning? He has no authority. So what he seeks to do is come into agreement with people that have authority. Because when he comes into agreement with someone that has authority, he can take that authority for himself. But if he can't get any agreement from you, if he can't get any amen from you, if he can't get any yes from you, then all of a sudden he has no authority in your life. So when the enemy tries to tell you your children aren't going to get saved, you don't say amen to him. You say amen that God is the author of my children's faith. And you say amen. When the enemy tries to tell you that your body's not going to be healed, you come into agreement with God and say amen to what he has promised you. That when the enemy tries to tell you that nothing's going to change, that everything's going to remain the same, you come into agreement with God. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, the enemy whispered in Adam and Eve's ear, and all he was looking for was the agreement of what he said was true. And when they agreed with him, the authority was given to him. But then you find in Luke chapter 4, the process was reversed. The enemy had Jesus in the wilderness and he began to speak to him. Bow down to me if this, do this and do that. And it says that every time he spoke to Jesus, Jesus came back and said, it is written. In other words, he never came into agreement with what was being spoken over him. He came into agreement with what God had prepared him for. He came into agreement with what God was saying over his life. And it says that the devil left him until an opportune time. But you notice there was never an opportune time because he never came back. You see, when you come into agreement with God, there is no limitations. There is no holding back. There is nothing that's going to stop you. When you come into agreement with God, yes, you have to go through the seasons. Yes, you have to bear under the trials. Yes, you have to believe against all odds. But when you are in agreement with God's word, in agreement with what he has said, he will fulfill his word to your life, even when it doesn't seem like it. I would have thought more people would be saying amen right now, because there is power in your amen. There is power in your agreement. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30, it says, if one can put 1,000 to flight, then two can put 10,000 to flight. You notice when there's agreement, there is increase. When there is agreement, there is a quickening. When there is an agreement, there is growth. You see, and if I was the enemy and I'm thinking, if I can't stop the one putting 1,000 to flight, I'm going to stop the two putting 10,000 to flight. So I'm going to try and bring disunity. I'm going to try and bring disagreement. I'm going to try and get into that marriage. I'm going to try and get into that family. I'm going to try and get into that church. And all of a sudden, because he has no authority, he begins to try and limit yours. And all it takes, it's not talent. It's not ability. It's not experience. What it takes is you to say yes and amen. Because your amen releases something from God. There is an agreement that has to take place between us and God this morning. That when promises that have been spoken over your life that you have not agreed with yet. I'm going to say that again. There is promises and words that have been spoken over your life that you have not agreed with yet. And today's the day to come into agreement with God. And when you come into agreement with God, there is going to be a release in your life. And that it's not just saying amen and then looking around for it to come from heaven. But it's about saying amen and then beginning to make choices about the person that God has called you to be, not the person that people said you were. I'm going to say this again. There are promises and words that have been spoken to you that you have not agreed with yet. And today you're going to come into agreement with it. There are callings. There are worship leaders in this church. You've not agreed with it yet. God is going to raise you up. There are people, there are teachers. And I'm not speaking as a dean. There are teachers. There are teachers that God has gifted you and graced you, but you're not in agreement with it yet. There are businesses that God has put upon your heart and your minds, but you've not agreed with it yet. Right now, today, we're going to come in agreement with God. That if he has said it, he will follow. Come on, stand with me. I'm not going to go any further with the message. There's an agreement that needs to happen. There's an agreement that needs to take place. There are words that have been spoken, and it needs your amen. The scriptures say that when you say amen, it is to the glory of God. Let me break this down as I finish this. The reason why it's to the glory of God is because your amen manifests heaven on earth. Your amen manifests God's word on earth. So when you say it, when you speak it, when you confess it, when you stand on it, when you proclaim it, when you walk in it, when you decide it, when you say amen, then all of a sudden heaven begins to meet earth and there is transformation and change. Come on, let's lift our hands in this place. There's some agreements that need to take place this morning. There's something that's going to give. God wants to move in our lives this morning. He has done what he needs to do. The cross was God's yes. The promises are God's yes, but your amen is going to release something this morning. Lifted hands, let's worship him right now. Come on, let's worship him. There is a freedom in here today. There is a release that's going to be in here today. Lifted hands right now, let's worship him. Come on, all across this place. I believe there are things that have been spoken over your life that you have not agreed with, that you have not said amen to yet. And as the worship team leaders, I want you to come from wherever you are. And I want you to come and come into agreement with God. Whatever it is that he has spoken, whatever it is that he has promised, I want you to come right now and begin to say yes to God. Begin to say, even in my weakness, even in my doubts or my struggles, Lord, I say yes to you. Come on, let's worship him. You come and respond to God this morning. Thank you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.